Today's reading is from Luke chapter 23, verses 26 to 43, followed by John chapter 3, verses 16 to 18. As they led him away, they seized Simon from Cyrene, who was on his way in from the country, and put the cross on him and made him carry it behind Jesus. A large number of people followed him, including women who mourned and wailed for him. Jesus turned and said to them, "Daughters of Jerusalem, don't weep for me. Weep for yourselves and for your children. For the time will come when you will say, 'Blessed are the barren women, the wombs that never bore, and the breasts that never nursed.' Then they will say to the mountains, 'Fall on us,' and to the hills, 'Cover us.' For if men do these things when the tree is green, what will happen when it's dry?" Two other men, both criminals, were also led out with him to be executed. When they came to the place called the Skull, there they crucified him along with the criminals, one on his right, the other on his left. Jesus said, "Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they're doing." And they divided up his clothes by casting lots. The people stood watching, and the rulers even sneered at him. They said, "He saved others. Let him save himself if he's the Christ of God, the chosen one." The soldiers also came up and mocked him. They offered him wine vinegar and said, "If you're the king of the Jews, save yourself." There was a written notice above him which read, "This is the king of the Jews." One of the criminals who hung there hurled insults at him. "Aren't you the Christ? Save yourself and us." But the other criminal rebuked him. "Don't you fear God," he said, "since you are under the same sentence? We are punished justly, for we're getting what our deeds deserve. But this man has done nothing wrong." Then he said, "Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom." Jesus answered him, "I tell you the truth. Today you will be with me in paradise." For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through him. Whoever believes in him is not condemned. But whoever does not believe stands condemned already, because he has not believed in the name of God's one and only Son.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Okay, so what this week, this coming week, important day. What is it? St. Patrick's Day. Thank you. St. Patrick's Day, the only patron saint of the British Isles was actually born in Britain. No, that's not true. St. David was. But yes, St. Patrick's Day is very important to us. Wilma will not be here, which is rather a shame. It's much more than dressing up in green, drinking green Guinness, if that's your thing, and going on a march. St. Patrick was an amazing man. He was a Briton, a Roman Briton, and he was taken as a slave to Ireland, where he escaped and went back to Britain, but had what you'd call a Macedonian call come back and help us young man in Ireland. And St. Patrick did go back. He did not drive all the snakes out of Ireland, neither by car nor any other means. He was a missionary, and he baptized thousands of people, and even planned actually to try and witness to his former slavers. But he developed an amazing type of Christianity, and we'll come back to this in a minute. I'm doing this for a reason apart from the 17th of March. He was the founder of a vigorous, spiritual, contextual, and missionary Christian faith. Was a great proponent of the faith in Ireland, and his people who came after him witnessed to the Scots and to the north of England, to Northumbria, St. Aidan, St. Cuthbert, you've heard of these guys. They were all missionaries from this tradition. It did fade after the Council of Whitby, which was a terrible time, 663. It was International Women's Day this week, and it was St. Hilda who chaired that council. It was a nun. So there you go, good old Hilda. So St. Patrick's Day. To this theme, God offers himself purpose, direction, and relationship. So what's the best thing that you've ever been given? Money? Yes, I always used to say, well, we did say, don't give us furniture, we're going as missionaries, give us money, when we got married. Is it money? Is it success? Is it fame? You could say, I'm going to live forever, but I have to be too old. Or is it your good health? Is it family? Is it friends? Now, okay, I don't want any bless here, please. I don't need the that. But my greatest gift was my wife.
Oh,
you disobedient church. But yes, is it because she can cook and sew, make flowers grow? Bob Dylan song. No, it's because she gave herself to me. Not because she gives me anything, but she does, but she gave herself to me. And this is what this theme is about. God, although he offers us peace, he offers us joy, he offers us salvation, he offers identity. What God does more than anything else is offers us himself. Sin is not the issue anymore. What is our issue here is accepting God who offers himself to us. Us. To us. God offers it. He gives himself. Why did I get that, have that reading I read from Luke 23? Because Jesus gave himself. I wanted you to remember what he gave. How he identified with humanity. How he identified with the criminals. Luke's very careful in what he says. He said they were taken out and he was executed with two robbers. He gave himself. An amazing thing. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son. And this verse is so well known that we forget the meaning of it. God gave himself to us in Jesus Christ. Now, we need, and Ray Markham talked about this last week, to meditate upon this, to think it through, to chew it over, to recognize and to take into our own life what this actually means. Now, this is a bit of a long verse, but oh boy, you can't see it, can you? I can't. This is Jesus' prayer in John 17. That all of them may be one, Father, just as you are in me and I am in you. May they also be in us, so that the world may believe that you have sent me. I have given them the glory you gave me, that they may be one as we are one, and I in them and you in me, so that they may be brought to complete unity. Then the world will know that you have sent me and loved me even, loved them as even as you loved me. Now you see this connection, don't you? God gave himself to us that we may be part of him, and that we may be unified so that the world may believe. So you go from the great theology to the unity to the witness. And this is really what this is all about. This is what God does in giving himself to us, that we may be incorporated into the life of God. Now, I hope that you will gain something this morning about your salvation. Your salvation is not simply a ticket to heaven. It's not a ticket to heaven. It is being part in this mysterious way of the Godhead. We are incorporated into the very life of the source of life. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. You may know already, I love Trinitarian theology, not because it's clever, because it actually touches who I am. It makes me who I am because I am part of who God is. Western tradition, that is, we are of the Western tradition, Protestants, Catholics, we are Western tradition, separate Father, King, Jesus, sacrifice, Spirit, Dove. The Eastern tradition actually puts them all together and actually sees its unity. Now, I've got a bigger word alert. Got to be careful here. This is going to be a biblical, a theological word. Don't get worried. I'll explain what it means. But it's a big word. No, it's not that. Sorry. That's the definition of supercalifragilistic espialidocious. No, and it's also not that. Sambayeth, pith, wingith, gigethin, windropeth, tlantini, or gogogoch. Thank you very much. I got applause from a Welshman. Yes, it means St. Mary's Church in the hollow of the white hazel near to the rapid whirlpool of Slensilio of the Red Cave. Yeah, totally. Why do they need to translate that? It's like Bourne being called the market town on the A15 between Lincoln and Peterborough. That's not my big word. There it is. No, sorry, it is perichoresis. Okay, let's say this word together. Perichoresis. Again, perichoresis. It means, peri means around and choreo means I contain. It means the containedness of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. The unity, the beauty of that relationship. It's not to do with maths, 1 in 3, 3 in 1. It's to do with the relationships between Father and Son and Holy Spirit. It's a most beautiful relationship. C.S. Lewis said, it matters more than anything else in the world The whole dance or drama, the pattern of the three personal, that's Trinitarian, life, played out in each one of us. Putting it the other way around, each one of us has got to enter that pattern. Take for him or her their place in that dance. There's no other way to be truly happy. Actually, to be truly human is to take part in the divine life. Now, for those of us who are very visual people, which I am very visual, you know, that helps me a great deal. The Father's not the Son's not the Spirit, and the Spirit's not the Father, but all are God. It's called the shield of the Trinity. And it is a dance. It's an interweaving dance. Have you ever seen three people dance in unity together? How their bodies actually complement one another. In Argentina, we've got the tango, which is it's a moving embrace. This is Andrei Rublev, my favorite icon of all times. This is the Trinity. It doesn't say who's who. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit around a table, sharing together the cup. And there's another cup in there, which is the shape of the bodies of the persons of the Trinity. Because there's a complete and utter blessed unity. And we are invited to take part in that. It is mysterious, it is spiritual, but it is actually very important for us to get, because we're not simply being religious, we're not doing religious stuff, we're actually plugging into the very life of God. As human beings, the Orthodox, the Eastern Orthodox people talk about the making you divine. I would say it makes us more human. This divine dance, this circle of unity, this beauty of the intermingling of the persons of the Trinity that we are invited into. Just some illustrations. Not only three, but we're invited. What we are shown here, a friend of mine, is the nature of ultimate reality. The life of God is community. Identity is not affirmed by closing ourselves off one from another, but by opening up to the other. Unity is full communion. It is in that image that we're created. In that participation, that constant divine conversation, that we find the meaning of our existence, life abundant. It is on that model we should structure all our human relationships. Neither the all-embracing authority, one over the other, nor an undifferentiated blob, I would put it. Our beginning and our destiny, as persons, as church, and as society. That blows my mind, I don't know about you, but it just blows my mind that we as human beings can be incorporated into God's life. And that God is inviting us, because of what Jesus did on that cross, in the dirt and the blood and the sweat, because of that, we can become part of him. Consider that as we go up to Easter. That's what our Lord Jesus Christ did. That's why we praise his name. That's why we say he's worthy. Because he is. Because what he did in the flesh brought us into communion with God. A real communion of love and relationship that only is seen through Jesus Christ, only is experienced in Jesus Christ. Well, that means something else as well. That actually, We being incorporated into the very life of God is being committed to God's purposes in the world. Because we can't not be committed to his purposes if we're part of him. We inherit into ourselves that which God cares for. It's not simply sitting and going, oh, isn't this wonderful? It's actually God's purposes in the world. And that is God's kingdom. Our Father in heaven. This we don't say it enough, the Lord's Prayer. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. May your name be glorified in us. May your kingdom come. May your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. God's will, and Jesus showed this throughout the Gospels, his will is for the vulnerable, for the poor, for the people who can't speak up for themselves, for the alien, the sojourner, as they get called in the old version of the Old Testament, the alien being incorporated, loved into God's kingdom. And that's our job. If we are incorporated into the very life of God, then we, as Paul said, should, oh boy, it's very sensitive today, isn't it? Should follow God's example, Jesus' example. Therefore, as dearly loved children, walk in the way of love, just as Christ loved us and gave himself up for us as a fragrant offering and sacrifice to God. That basically says it all. As beloved children, because we are incorporated into the life of God, we live the way of love. He gave himself up for us so that we may give ourselves up for one another and for others. And it's not just looking after our friends. It's caring for and incorporating in to the life of God those who don't know him, so that they may experience it as well. In the Old Testament, Isaiah, if you spend yourself on behalf of the hungry, if you spend money on behalf of the hungry, no, if you spend yourself, and I'm not criticizing anybody who gives out of wealth, yet God gave in Jesus Christ out of his poverty, because he gave himself for us. As a human being, remember, he was fully God, but he was fully human. Again, Lewis, I found these quotes from Mere Christianity just recently. Amazing. He says, there are no personalities anywhere apart from God. Until you have given up yourself to him, you will not have a real self. Give yourself up and you'll find your true self. Lose your life and you will save it. Submit to death and death of your ambitions and favorite wishes every day, and the death of your whole body in the end. Submit it. Submit with every fiber of your being, and you will find eternal life. Jesus said, if you try and keep your life, you'll lose it. If you give your life up, then you will save it. Keep nothing back, he says. He gets very preachy at this point. Nothing that has not been given away will be really yours. Nothing in you that has not died will ever be raised from the dead. Look for yourself and you will find in the long run only hatred, loneliness, despair, rage, ruin and decay. But look for Christ and you will find him, and with him everything else thrown in. Understanding our triune God gives us a greater capacity to love others, and it allows us to experience our true personalities in greater depth. This talk brings all the God offers us together. in God's offering of himself to us, that we may give ourselves on behalf of others. So recognize your identity as being part of the very life of God. Honor God in every part of your life. Look for God's purposes and establishment of his kingdom. And I've started doing this because I've got to do it for myself, which is, for this week, meditate upon God's triune nature. If it gives you a headache, it's worth it. And our place in that nature. Look it up. Read a bit about what it means to be incorporated into God's life. Consider our place in God's purposes in the world to evangelize, to disciple others, to care for the vulnerable, to strive against injustice, to care for creation. These are all part of God's will for us. So when we're incorporated into his life, we will become committed to what he is committed to. Let's pray. Lord God, we thank you that you have, through the Lord Jesus Christ, brought us into relationship with you. And not only brought us into relationship with you, but brought us into the very dance of the Trinity. That loving life that gives us life, that allows us to give our lives up on behalf of others. Help us to do that, Lord, we pray, in Jesus' name. Amen.